morning and welcome to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimek and it's great to be with you here on this Tuesday morning. Obviously, there is a lot going on in the world. The first thing that comes into my mind is the bombing that took place in Manchester. We're not going to ignore it here. We are going to talk about it. Look, let's be honest. I like to keep the show uplifting, but we have to acknowledge this. And I want you to remember something. The Lord is bigger than any of these problems that are happening in the world. We'll talk about this in a minute. But first, let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. We ask you, Father, to remind us that you are with us always, that you sent your Son Jesus to walk with us, and that he is right by our side. Father, we ask you to give us the grace that we need to get through the day and face the challenges that will come our way. Father, we ask you to help all of those affected by the bombing that took place yesterday in Manchester. We ask you to have mercy on the souls of those who lost their lives. And we ask you to grant peace to all affected. Father, we pray for the conversion of those responsible for the evil acts. And we ask that you help to keep us safe in the future. And of course, we ask for all these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say before we get to talking about a little bit about what happened in Manchester, we have got a great show today coming up shortly in the program. Father Sean Davidson will be here to talk about St. Mary Magdalene. He has written a very interesting book on St. Mary Magdalene, and I think you're going to like to hear what he has to say. And our friend from Catholic Answers, Carlo Broussard, will be joining us to talk about miracles. He's going to be answering some of the common questions that we have about miracles. But right now, I'd like to bring in Dave Parker and Frank Elias. And boys, good morning. Let's talk a little bit about what happened yesterday, this bombing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't ignore it, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm well. I'm doing the show remotely today, so I'm doing it at home. I'm going to be heading out to Virginia later today. I'll be doing the show on the road for the rest of the week. But guys, you know, I want to share a Bible verse with you, and I think it really puts things into perspective. It's John 16, verse 33, the words of Jesus. Jesus said this: "In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Guys, you know, let's be honest here. We see tragedies in life. We see things in our own life that we don't understand. We see things like this where innocent lives are lost. Mm-hmm. It's hard to remember that the Lord is bigger than any of this. He is, though. But this is what can happen when there's free will. He gives us the gift of free will, and that free will can be abused. People can do evil things, and the Lord permits it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. And it's unfortunate, Gare, in my heart, in our hearts, from all of our listeners, I'm sure, go out and just keep those souls that went on to be with the Lord early, because most of them were young, are in our prayers and thoughts. And it is, and in a way, one of the first human reactions is, I mean, we recoil, we get angry, you know, and it's difficult. That's part of the trial and tribulation. I mean, where we want to react viscerally, you know, and try and do something. And I became angry.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's mm-hmm. it's a challenge to understand why and how this can even happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? In many ways, it's also a wake up call to us. We have to live our each day as if it is our last. If the chance that we will see the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we ready?
Yeah,
exactly.
And I think
exactly.
There's a lot of things that we can take from it. Does that take away from this anger?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's okay to be mm-hmm. angry.
Yes, it is.
Exactly.
I think that's something, you know, that is a human emotion. But, you know, ultimately, you know, remember the Lord is there for you. And, you know, try to, you know, live that each day, that if you were to see the Lord today, how would you be?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great point, Frank.
Go ahead, Gare. Yeah.
One of the things that I want to say, and that's a great point. You made some great points there, Frank. One of the things that I wanted to mention is, I mentioned at the start of the show, Carlo Broussard will be here. He wrote a little booklet for Catholic Answers. It's called Miracles, 20 Answers. And he answers 20 questions about miracles. One of the questions he answers is, why doesn't God perform more miracles in order to stop evil? and make more people believe in him. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna ask that to Carlo when he comes on the show. But that's a question that comes up. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is, again, that concept of free will. The Lord's not going to force us to obey him. He's not going to force terrorists to obey him. He's not going to wipe out terrorists. Mm-hmm. And this is part of the mystery of our faith. And it's always going to be a mystery. But people can do evil. Look at what happened to Jesus. But the thing to remember is there is always hope, and the Lord can somehow, and again, we might not understand this, but he can somehow always bring good out of any evil that happens. Just look at the crucifixion.
And I would also suggest that miracles do happen each and every day. Mm-hmm. We may not see them. We may not even have faith that they are miracles.
Exactly.
And, you know, and it's something that's over time. They are happening. And part of it is opening our own eyes and ears, all our abilities to actually see these things, see the good things that are in the world, and see ways that we can bring more good to the world. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we win these people, these individuals that may have issues? How do we win them over in to our own spirit of faith?
Yeah.
And, you know, get them to understand that. And there's ways to do that. And, you know, we can easily go on the attack like some of them are.
Maybe
they're on the attack for the same reason. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's take a step back from that and go, wait, how do I win them over a different way?
Exactly.
You know, and I think that there's ways to do that. And I ultimately, it falls on the responsibility of all of us to, you know, bring our faith forward in this world.
I was going to say, sometimes we really expect something very grandiose. And when we talk about miracles on a large scale, as Frank said so astutely, It's in the little things day to day that we, like maybe someone's health, they had a health problem and it resolves. And whether they're in treatment or not, sometimes it resolves on its own and through prayer. So, I mean, it's the little things. It's not always a big thing that's going to get our attention. And we have to, as Frank says, open our eyes and our senses and in a way be still. And then observe that.
It's not always going to be the miracle of the sun.
Exactly.
And, that's right.
You know, I think that's ultimately we have to remember, but they are out there, and you see it in your lives. You see it in people you know. You may not associate it with a miracle. You just may associate, wow, you know, they've improved. Their health is much better. That's great. You know, a miracle of treatment. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, there's a lot of things to that. And I think ultimately it does still come down to faith, and it still comes down to, you know, our abilities to even open our eyes and ears to even see and understand those things as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a mixture of things that go on in this. You know, yes, we should be angry. It's okay to be angry. That is, you know, at events like this, I was angry.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, at the same time, finding ways to bring it back to our faith and bring it back to our own understanding. And I think if we can do that, that's when your faith starts to really, you know, become powerful.
On the way up to the station, I was, I pray like Gary, you do often, and Frank does too, as we drive and have our thoughts and our prayers. And I was, saying the rosary from 5:30 to 6.
It's funny you said that. I was actually out at our Coatesville location last night trying to fix something, and on the way back when the news broke of this, I actually said the rosary on the ride back.
Wow. I mean, in a way, you know, because we could let our anger overwhelm us, but then I thought, no, got to lift it up. Really have to lift it up.
Cause that's the key.
If I say I'm a believer, well, then I have to put it over to the Lord and to his mother, you know.
Exactly. So.
Right. And guys, it's great to hear you share those stories. What you're reminding us of is the fact that there is always something we can do, and that's the key. We can pray about these things. And as Frank said, and this is one of the messages we try to bring home on this program all the time, is what can I do to share Christ with others? And it all starts with being nice to people, right? And trying to not be judgmental and trying to love everyone. It doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to have good feelings about them. Mm-hmm. It means that you can consciously make that decision to be nice to them and to love them. Not always an easy thing to do. But the good news is, boys, we have help. And that message is going to be illustrated in today's gospel. Let me read that now. Comes from John chapter 16, verses 5 through 11. Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I am going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin because they do not believe in me, righteousness because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Condemnation because the ruler of this world has been condemned. Now, a couple of things jump out at me from this gospel. The first thing is we're obviously getting ready for the coming of the Holy Spirit, which we'll celebrate. Not this Sunday, but the following Sunday at Pentecost. Mm-hmm. This is a big thing. Now, we who live in this day and age, we are blessed. We are not waiting for the Holy Spirit. We have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides the church, and each of us has the Holy Spirit within us once we're baptized and confirmed. So that's a really good thing, that Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that guided Jesus. This was the Spirit that lived in him. And it's been said that the Holy Spirit is the love between the Father and the Son. So this is a pretty awesome Spirit. That Spirit dwells in us and can help us to do the right thing if we listen. And again, that's what, Frank, that's what you were talking about earlier. Are we listening? Are we listening? Are we open to hearing what the Lord has to say? And the final thing, I think this last line of the gospel from today is something that should really get our attention. Jesus said the ruler of this world has been condemned. Guess who the ruler of this world is? And Jesus has said this on many occasions. Sometimes we think, yes, the Lord is the Lord of everything. But Satan is very much active in this world. Let's be honest. There's evil in the world, but the Lord is bigger. And that's the good news.
Absolutely. And I was going to say, well, we're coming up on a break here.
Yeah, I was going to say real fast, though, so our listeners are aware, there actually was an arrest this morning of a 23-year-old man involved in the incident last night in Manchester. Mm-hmm. So I just thought our listeners would like to know that.
Okay.
Yes, that's breaking news. So thank you, Frank, for sharing that. Guys, when we come back from the break, we're going to break. Now, when we come back, Father Sean Davidson will join us, and we're going to talk about St. Mary Magdalene. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for May 27th. Today we celebrate St. Augustine of Canterbury. Today's saint is known as the Apostle of England. Behind that lofty title is a very human saint who did not always meet with success. Augustine was filled with self-doubt. In the year 596, for example, Augustine led a party of monks from Rome to evangelize the Anglo-Saxons in England. Along the way, he and his men heard stories about the ferocious Anglo-Saxons and the dangerous waters of the English Channel. Augustine promptly did a U-turn back to Rome, where Pope Gregory the Great assured him and the others that their fears were groundless. They set out for England once again. Eventually, Augustine was consecrated a bishop and founded his see in Canterbury. He constructed a church and monastery on the site where the present cathedral now stands. The work of converting the Anglo-Saxons and lapsed Christians was slow, and Augustine made mistakes along the way, but he always labored patiently. Augustine's perseverance reminds us to stay in the struggle and be satisfied with gradual advances. He died in 605, 8 years after he had arrived in England. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org. Call us at 215-345-1570 or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
good enough. I try to walk the line, pray that I find something that I knew was real. Began to realize the harder I tried, the colder I'd start to feel. Until the moment, the second I met your love. Freedom in more than just a story in the sky, wearing white. He's alive in every moment. And now that I know this love.
The God I Know by Loving the Outcome. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Father Sean Davidson is a member of the Missionaries of the Most Holy Eucharist. He spent 2 years serving at the magnificent Basilica of St. Mary Magdalene in France, where he received the inspiration for this book that we're about to discuss, St. Mary Magdalene, Prophetess of Eucharistic Love. Father Sean is currently serving at the Eucharistic Retreat Center in the Seminary of the Immaculate Conception, Long Island. We are here to talk about St. Mary Magdalene with Father. Good morning, Father. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning.
Good morning, Gary. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Father, I'm so glad we're going to talk about this saint, who I really think we know very little about. We know some things about her. And the first question I have to ask you, Father, why an entire book on St. Mary Magdalene?
Yeah, it's a long story, but as you mentioned, you know, I was based for a while in France, in southeast France.
Yes.
And the tradition has it. It's a very, very ancient tradition in the Catholic Church that some of the first Christians were exiled, you know, during the persecutions that broke out in around 41, 42 A.D., and that Mary Magdalene was among those Christians who were exiled from the Holy Land, driven out of the Holy Land, and that she crossed the Mediterranean, and that she came into the port of Marseille, a very ancient port in southeast France. And there she spent the end of her life. They evangelized the region. France became known as the eldest daughter of the church, you know, and this early Christian evangelization. And that she ended her days there. So where her body is said to be buried, where her relics are kept, I was living, and I was very moved by the place, a very beautiful, holy, spiritual place. In the Middle Ages, it was known as the third tomb of Christendom, the third most important tomb in Christendom, and lots of graces. There have been miracles that have happened there. And so I was just very moved by this saint. I really just discovered her at that time. You know, I obviously knew a little bit about her, like you said, but not all that much.
Right.
You know, there's
right.
a lot of confusion, a lot of debate about her identity. And but what I discovered there, I really loved, and I thought that it might be good to share some of that. I know in the English-speaking world, that whole tradition is not known, you know, as it should be. And
right.
so that was one reason, to make it known, make her known a little bit, make that tradition known a little bit. The other reason mm-hmm. was that in the text that the tradition has associated with her, she always has this extraordinary love for Christ. It's kind of a radical love, a love that stands out, and she has an amazement in the presence of Christ. And my mission as a missionary of the Most Holy Eucharist is to help people to come to the Eucharist, to fall in love with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And I sort of saw in her a perfect model for us, to show us and help us, school us in how to be amazed before the Blessed Sacrament. The same Jesus that she knew 2,000 years ago is now present in the Eucharist. And so that was really mm-hmm. my goal, my kind of a twofold goal, make the tradition known a little bit, but also show her as an example of radical love for Christ.
Well, Father, I'm really glad you wrote the book. In the book, again, St. Mary Magdalene, Prophetess of Eucharistic Love by Father Sean Davidson. It's from Ignatius Press. I really am enjoying this book. And Father, there is, I mean, obviously, we may have heard of this. I have heard of this in the past. There's somewhat of a question about the identity of Mary Magdalene. And I want to ask you, is Mary Magdalene, who from whom went forth seven demons and who was witness to the resurrection, one and the same as the sinful woman who was converted to Christ in the seventh chapter of the Gospel of Luke? And also, furthermore, is she the same person who is the sister of Lazarus and Martha?
Well, if you had asked me that 50 years ago or 100 years ago, or asked any Catholic that 50 or 100
yeah.
years ago, they would have said yes. They would have said yes,
huh.
that she is that is the same woman. You know, the liturgy of the church before the 1960s or early 70s when it changed showed her as that. So the liturgy for the
okay.
feast day of Mary Magdalene, you would have had the gospel text was the woman weeping at his feet from the seventh chapter of Luke. The opening prayer mm-hmm. of the Mass spoke of Lazarus being raised from the dead because of her prayers. The first reading for the day was an ancient a text from the Song of Songs, which is associated with something that Mary of Bethany did. So the whole thing was tied together perfectly by the liturgy of the church. Now, the biblical scholars of the 20th century began to say that that's not absolutely evident and clear just from looking mm-hmm. at the scriptures. So if you were just to look at the Gospels alone, many of the scripture scholars would say you can't arrive at that absolute certitude. And so they were troubled by having that sort of image imposed upon them from the liturgy of the church and without them being able to fully sort of accept it from the scriptures. And so basically there was a big debate within the church mm. and a petition to change the liturgy. So basically the church changed the liturgy to make it, to no longer impose that upon us, but to make sure that we have in the liturgy what we're absolutely sure about. So now in the liturgy
okay.
we have the gospel where she sees Jesus after the resurrection. Her name is clearly given as Mary Magdalene. And so those ones we're absolutely certain about. The first reading is still the same, even though, you know, it does seem to relate to Mary of Bethany, the one that we call Mary of Bethany. But anyway, in my
right.
opinion, and the tradition of the church in France especially, is that it is the same woman. I kind of discussed that in the book and explain a
yes.
little bit some of the reasons for it. So again, it's an opinion. Everybody's free to make
mm-hmm.
their own opinion. The church has left the debate somewhat open. I think there are
right.
pretty strong reasons, even biblical reasons, for continuing to believe in that tradition. And I think there are some deep spiritual reasons. When you meditate on the text, you see a similar personality shining through all of those texts. St. Francis de Sales has a very beautiful homily on her for her feast day. And he says, I don't ever recall having seen the excellent Mary Magdalene anywhere but at the feet of Christ. So if you look in all of those texts, the woman weeping at his feet, John 11, when Lazarus is raised from the dead, she falls at his feet. The Martha Mary text, she sits at his feet. John 12, she anoints his feet again just before the Passion. At the foot of the cross, she's at his feet. At the resurrection, she again falls at his feet. So she's this kind of adorer who instinctively prostrates herself in adoration before the person of Christ in every text.
Father, we have about 3 minutes left, and I want to touch on, you mentioned the Martha and Mary story. I am very familiar. I love the story of Martha and Mary. And let's be honest, we live in some very troubled times with the news of the bombing in Manchester last night. There are a lot of things that can disturb us. When we look at the Martha and Mary situation where they welcome Jesus into their home, we see Martha troubled and anxious about many things. She's letting things get the best of her. And yet we see Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him. What can we learn from the way St. Mary Magdalene responded to Jesus during that encounter?
Yeah, I think the one thing necessary is that we keep our eyes fixed upon the Lord, you know, that we don't lose sight of Jesus. And in order for that to happen, we do have to have time every day where we have a heart-to-heart with Christ. You know, people say, well, I pray all the time. I pray at every moment throughout the day. I'm always praying, so I don't have a specific time where I sit down and have a heart-to-heart with Jesus or kneel before him.
Right.
And really, St. Teresa of Avila tells us that if all you have is that type of prayer where you're just sort of trying to unite yourself to him while you're working, then what will happen is that you'll be estranged from Christ. You will be separated from Christ. You'll lose your intimacy with him slowly but surely. And ultimately, you'll lose your peace. You'll be anxious and troubled before long. So we do need that heart-to-heart. I really recommend Eucharistic adoration. Bishop Fulton Sheen used to recommend the holy hour, what he would call the power hour, where he got his power from to evangelize. And he used to say an hour is necessary. Because we're so distracted, because we live in such a crazy, almost anti-contemplative environment today, and today it's even worse than when he was around, so we need time.
Right.
We need slow. We need to enter into prayer. We spend the first 20 minutes, half an hour of a holy hour, sometimes just getting still, getting ourselves ready, so that we can truly have a heart-to-heart and listen to Christ. And I think that's true. And I do think that we should also bring the Gospels with us when we go to adoration, ponder his word like Mary was doing, at his feet, listening to his word. And when he speaks to us through his word, our hearts are set on fire and our hearts are brought to peace. And ultimately, for me, the Eucharist is our peace. You know, when the Lord is on the altar during Mass, just before we receive Holy Communion, we mention peace at least 5 or 6 times, because his body, his risen body, which is present in the Eucharist, is our peace.
Well, Father, thank you so much for joining us. Unfortunately, we are out of time. The book, St. Mary Magdalene, Prophetess of Eucharistic Love, by Father Sean Davison from Ignatius Press. Father, thank you again.
God bless you, Gary.
God bless you, too. When we come back, Carlo Broussard will join us from Catholic Answered. We'll be talking about miracles. I'm Gary Zimak, host of Spirit in the Morning, and I have great news for you. Tradition, a celebration of the 25th anniversary of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, sponsored by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, is coming to the Sheraton Philadelphia Downtown Hotel on Monday, June the 19th. Scheduled to appear, Archbishop Charles Chaput, Jeff Caven, Scott Hahn, Mother Assumpta Long, Matthew Bunsen, Deborah Savage, and Jonathan Reyes. For more information or to register, visit PhillyOCF.org.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Shattered like you've never been before. The life you knew in 1,000 pieces on the floor. And words fall short in times like these, when this world drives you to your knees. You think you're never gonna get back to the you they used to be. Tell your heart. Yesterday is a clue.
Just let that word wash over you. It's all right now. Love's healing hands have pulled you through. So get back up, take step one. Leave the darkness, feel the sun. 'Cause your story's far from over, and your journey's just begun. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace. Yesterday's a closing door. You don't live there anymore. Say goodbye to where you've been, and tell your heart to beat. Everything for your good. Tell your heart to beat again. Close your eyes and breathe it in. Let the shadows fall away. Step into the light of grace.
Was Tell Your Heart to Beat Again by Danny Gokey. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Let's take a quick look at the weather for the greater Philadelphia area right now at the Philadelphia International Airport. It is 61 degrees. Today we'll have a slight chance of showers before 11 a.m., then a slight chance of showers after 1 p.m. Otherwise, partly sunny with a high near 74. Tonight, chance of showers mainly before 11 p.m., then a low around 57. Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 75 degrees. Well, I'm excited to be joined by our next guest. Carlo Broussard is an apologist for Catholic Answers. I had the privilege of meeting him. I've been familiar with him. We've had him on the show before, but I got to meet him in person last week. What a great guy. He is on fire for Jesus Christ. You can find him online at carlobroussard.com. He has written a booklet, and this is a great little booklet, 20 Answers, Miracles. He's here to talk right now about miracles. Carlo, brother, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. How are you, my friend?
I am great. And, man, I'll tell you what, thanks again for getting up so early to be with us on the program.
No problem, brother. It's always a joy.
Hey, Carlo, got to ask you, miracles. Let's talk a little bit about them. This is a great little booklet from Catholic Answers. I highly recommend it. Let's first, before we talk about some of the specifics, what exactly is a miracle?
Yeah, that's the important question, right?
Yeah, that's where we start, right?
Amen. We got to define our terms. If I could draw from my favorite saint and intellectual giant in the Catholic tradition, St. Thomas Aquinas, basically, a miracle is an extraordinary, sensible effect that's brought about by God that surpasses the powers of created nature. Now, I understand that's a mouthful, so let me try to unpack that in 60 seconds for you. So basically,
okay,
the
sure.
Catechism defines it in a glossary as a sign or a wonder only attributed to divine power. Mm. Now, there are three basic aspects here. First of all, well, when we talk about a miracle being beyond the powers of created nature, it can do so, it can be beyond the powers of created nature in three ways. So, for example, Gary, the effect itself. If we're talking about the glorified body, right, that's an extraordinary, sensible effect that only God can bring about. And it's beyond the power of creative nature in the effect itself. The body, by nature, can't walk through walls, can't go from one place to another at the speed of thought like Jesus' resurrected body did. So we can look at the effect itself. Or, Gary, we can look at the subject, the thing in which the effect is produced. So take, for example, the resurrection from the dead, right? Life is a natural thing. That's something that's a part of the natural world. But when you find life in a corpse, then you have an effect that's beyond the powers of created nature. Or take, for example, sight. That's a natural thing. That's a part of the natural world. But whenever you have sight found in a destroyed or defective eye that shouldn't be having sight, well, then you have an effect beyond the powers of created nature. And then finally, the third way in which an effect can be on the powers of created nature is the mode or the manner in which an effect is produced. So take, for example, a broken bone that mends itself, that heals. That's a part of the natural world, but that normally takes time. So whenever you have a broken bone being healed immediately upon request through prayer, well, then you have an effect that's beyond the powers of created nature. Take rain. Rain is a normal thing. But whenever you have rain coming down upon command through prayer, you have an effect that's beyond the powers of created nature in the manner in which the effect is produced. So we have these effects that are beyond the powers of created nature. It's got to be extraordinary. That is to say, it's not going to be a part of the order of created nature. So it's not merely the creation of the universe, because that's something only God can do, right? But it's technically not a miracle, because that's not extraordinary. It's not outside the normal course of things. The creation of the human soul, only God can do that, but that's a part of the order of created nature. It's not extraordinary. And then also, too, it's got to be beyond the order of grace. So, like, for example, the infusion of grace in the soul through the sacrament of baptism. Only God does that directly, of course, through the means of the water, et cetera, and the prayers. But that's not technically considered a miracle, because it's a part of the ordinary order of grace. So it's got to be beyond the powers of created nature, which means only God can do it. It's got to be extraordinary, and then it's got to be sensible. It's got to be, we got to be able to sense it. And that's because it serves the purpose for which miracles take place.
And let's talk about that.
God's divine revelation. Yeah,
that's because that's a question that many people often have. Why does God perform miracles?
Yeah, well, ultimately, he performed miracles in the apostolic age. Well, of course, even in the Old Testament, in order to confirm divine revelation, to confirm what he is revealing to his people as coming from him. We see, you know, this is a part of Jesus' miracles as well. In John chapter 10, verses 37 through 38, Jesus, you know, talks about how, believe in the Father and believe me that I'm from the Father. But if you don't believe me, Jesus says, believe my works, right? And the works testify and validate the fact that he was sent from the Father. And then the First Vatican Council would actually definitively define miracles as the most certain signs of God's revelation. So it ultimately is to confirm that God has revealed himself to us. But throughout the church age, Gary, miracles also serve an ongoing purpose, namely to wake us up, right, and to realize that God exists, sort of to stir that flame of faith within us, authenticate the claims of Jesus' church. And then also, too, Gary, theological signs. This is an interesting point. You know, in Jesus' ministry at the wedding of Cana, when he changes water into wine, it was not only to lead the disciples to believe, but also to testify to the advent of the Messianic age, because wine, according to the prophet Amos in chapter 9, verse 13, was a sign of the Messianic kingdom. So it also has theological significance to it as well.
Wow. I wish we had more time. This is a great topic, Carl. I love having you on. But here's one of the beautiful things about having this show and getting to talk to people like you. My daughter Elizabeth was reading in the Bible the other day about one of the miracles of Jesus. And she said, why did Jesus perform miracles so many times and tell the people, keep this quiet, don't tell anybody about it? And you address this in your book.
Yeah, there's what is known as the Messianic secret. You know, at the time, Jesus had an earthly mission to accomplish given to him by the Father. And within the historical context and the climate at the time with the Roman Empire, you know, if word would have gotten out to the Roman Empire that there's this man claiming to be a king, he's causing this uproar within Judea, they would have squashed him. They would have, as many Messiah claimants have done even before Jesus, they would have come and put an end to Jesus' earthly ministry. But of course, Jesus being God, he knows the appropriate time and the place for his ministry and when his earthly ministry is to come to an end. So he would often tell folks, keep it quiet, because within the historical context, it would have brought unnecessary and untimely opposition from the Roman Empire. But when the time was right, according to God's divine plan, Jesus would lay down his life in self-sacrificial love.
Very interesting. Thank you for clearing that up, because that's something I had wondered about as well. Carla, we have about 2 minutes left. I want to make sure I ask you this question. With what went on last night, the bombing in Manchester, we see a lot of evil in the world. You mentioned this in your book, and I wanted to ask you this. You said, why doesn't God perform more miracles in order to stop evil and make more people believe in him? That's a very common question. Can't God put an end to terrorism?
Yeah, I mean, God could. He has the power to do it. And this is, you know, Gary, this is, you know, a problem that we all face, theists and atheists alike, right? And then, of course, there's the emotional problem where, you know, we just kind of have bad feelings about it, and we want to find meaning and purpose, and we just want the pain to go away. And so it's not necessarily a refutation of God's existence, but sort of just a, sometimes for some people a rejection of God, or just trying to find purpose and meaning in it. But on the intellectual level, you know, God, being the infinite God that he is, omniscient and all-powerful, there is no good that he cannot bring about. And so God's permission of evil doesn't count against his goodness precisely because of greater good that he can possibly and will bring about from his allowance of evil. Now, just because we can't see what those goods will be, it doesn't follow that there is no good reason for God permitting the suffering. If God were to perform miracles over and over and over again, we could, as I point out in the book, if we're talking about sin, it would take away from the value of moral choice. If we're talking about evil suffered, such as physical evil and natural disasters, you know, if miracles were as common as rain, Gary, we would have no capability of knowing the order and the intelligibility of the universe and be able to reason to God's existence from that regularity and from that order. So God wills that regularity and thus wills and permits certain natural disasters to happen. He permits moral evils in order to respect human freedom, et cetera. And so I go into more detail about that in my book. But fundamentally, it doesn't count against God's goodness, but to find meaning and purpose, Gary, the answer is Jesus Christ.
Awesome, awesome. Carla, we're out of time, brother. The book is Miracles, 20 Answers from Catholic Answers Press. Find out more at carlobroussard.com. Hey, brother, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Gary. God bless you, my friend.
All right, God bless you. We'll be back with Be Not Afraid Bible Verse.
Love is what we come here for.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 16:5, Jesus told his disciples that he was returning to the one who sent him. Having said this, he knew the grief they felt. He then assured them that this was good for them, since the Advocate would only come at his departure. Jesus recognized the pain his words brought to those who were closest to him. It was not his intention to hurt them. He loved them, after all. But he knew better than they what was best for them. And time has certainly proved his words to be true. We tend to think of our current difficulties and fears as lasting forever. He knows what a short duration they will actually last. He also knows the glory awaiting us if we just trust him. Moreover, it is the very presence of the Advocate among us, the Holy Spirit, that is giving this minute between you and me the meaning that it has. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit,
spirit,
spirit in the morning with Gary Zimak.
Was Every Good Thing by The Afters. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. I wanted to mention, too, you may have noticed during that last break, we started yesterday playing Catholic Answers Minutes. I just love these segments by Father Vincent Serpa. He's been the chaplain for Catholic Answers for many years. And when I was out there last week being on the program, Catholic Answers Live, I was able to talk to them and find out how we could make them a part of Spirit in the Morning. So we're going to be featuring Catholic Answers Minutes from now on the program. Let us know what you think about them. I think they're fantastic. I think it's a great way to learn more about our faith and, of course, to grow closer to Jesus. Speaking of which, let's look at our Be Not Afraid Bible verse for the day. These verses come from my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living. The verse today is, it's funny, this was the verse I talked about with Father Kirby yesterday on the program. This is when Jesus has ascended into heaven, and we're seeing him talk to his disciples. Luke 24, verses 52 and 53. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. Now, I've always found this interesting, that they're filled with great joy. Here Jesus is saying, all right, guys, I'm going to heaven. They killed me, but you'll be fine. I'll be with you. See ya, right? Right, Dave?
Yeah,
I mean,
right, Gary.
I don't know if I'd be filled with great joy. I'd say, hold on a minute there, buddy. Come on, can you take me?
Hey, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. And you'll join me someday, okay? But
yeah, exactly. Good luck. But in the meantime, good luck. They're going to kill you now. Just, you know, take it from here. But that just goes to show the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Lord. They were filled with great joy. And obviously that encounter had an effect on them because they were joyful, even in the midst of the persecutions. And when you look at throughout the Easter season, when you look at the first readings have been from the Acts of the Apostles throughout the whole Easter season. You see what St. Paul went through. I mean, he's getting beaten up. He's getting shipwrecked. He's getting persecuted. But yet he's singing. He's filled with joy, and he's singing. He's rejoicing because he has had that. He has that ongoing encounter with Jesus Christ. That's the same encounter we can all have. It's tough. The world is a tough place. Mm-hmm. But as I mentioned in that gospel passage at the start of the program, Jesus told us he has overcome the world. He's bigger than the world. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what we have to remember.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gare, that's not our usual way. I mean, the worldly way says, woe is me and stuff. But, I mean, can you imagine St. Paul, you know, singing, you know? I mean, he's just embracing his pain and his trials.
And I understand that's not typical, and we're not going to always be singing. As a matter of fact, it would be kind of strange if we walk around singing all the time. I know you do that, Dave, but for the rest of us.
Is that why you have earplugs, buddy? Come on.
One of the reasons we like to do this show. We want to help get your morning started off in the right way. And I think it's just a matter of awareness. We just need to be reminded that Jesus is with us. Mm-hmm. He didn't go anywhere. You know, certainly he's present in the Eucharist. And we have these guests on the program, which I loved our guests today. I love our guests every day. But our guests reminded us today of the real presence of Christ and how he is with us at all times. And we should be joyful.
I was going to say, Carlo Broussard, boy, talk about, you know, early morning. Boy, he took us to school on that, didn't he? On miracles?
I know. No, he's a great apologist for Catholic Answers. And, it's, you know, it's 4:30 in the morning where he's at. He's out in San Diego. So I'm really glad that he's with us. I wanted to just briefly mention that coming up later in the week, tomorrow in the program, we have a doubleheader priest appearance tomorrow. We're going to be joined by Father Edward Looney, who has been on the show before. He's going to talk about the Blessed Mother. You know, this is her month, and I wanted to have somebody on to talk about Mary and some of the facts that we may not realize about Mary's life. He recently did a presentation about Mary's life. Who is Mary? Let's find out more about her. So Father Looney will join us, and then After he's on, we'll be joined by Father Paul Scalia, who you may be familiar with him listening at home. He is the son of former Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. He has written a book called That Nothing May Be Lost, Reflections on Catholic Doctrine and Devotion. The foreword in the book is by our own Archbishop Charles Chaput. This is an excellent book. Father Paul will be here. Thursday on the program, Marge Fenelon, author and speaker, will be here, as well as Kate Wicker. Kate Wicker's been on the show. She's a regular guest. She's discussing her book, Getting Past Perfect. And then Friday, we'll have a first-time guest on the show. Jared Dees has written a book called Praying the Angelus, Find Joy, Peace, and Purpose in Everyday Life. And, of course, on Friday, I still have to get final confirmation because he's a busy man, but my hope is that Dan Burke will be able to find to join us. Sometimes Dan has to speak and he travels, so he can't always be here, but my hope is that Dan will be here for his regular Into the Deep segment.
Hey, Garrick, I was just thinking, I'm really marveling at Father Scalia. Can you imagine growing up with one of the icons to ever serve on the Supreme Court of the United States?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And he talks about his father in the book and how he's grateful for the fact that his father loved his Catholic faith and he passed that on to him. We'll talk about Justice Scalia with Father Paul tomorrow. I mean, mm-hmm. we obviously have to talk about that. I still remember that incredible homily he gave at his father's funeral. A lot of people were really touched by that.
Yeah, I remember that as well. It was beautiful.
So what do we have, Mr. Parker? About a minute left in the program?
Yeah, we have about a minute. Minute and 45. So how are you doing, Gare? You're sounding good this morning.
I'm doing great. I understand you heard some breakfast dishes in the background.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dave, I'm sorry I didn't make you anything today.
I was going to say, it just made me hungry. I started salivating.
Yeah, I apologize for that, but that's proof that I am doing the show from my home today.
I felt very at home, Gare. Come on. Thanks, man.
Yeah, that's right. But right after the program, I'm going to head out to Virginia. I'll be doing the program from the road for the rest of the week. And
we have about 30 seconds.
You and Frank will be holding down the fort at the studio. All right, that's my time to kick it off with, to kick off the final prayer. We'll just say, Lord, please be with us today wherever we go. Help us to remember that you are near. And now to you at home, I say, as I always do, remember whatever you do today, the Lord is with you. Remember to keep him in mind and say hi. We'll talk to you next time. God bless you.